Welcome to Cinema Talk Rafi. We watch movies with you so you don't have to.
Welcome to Cinematography. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas, joined by
Brant Hughes.
And Brant, we are here to talk about probably the saddest horse on the planet.
Possibly.
Mr. Bojack Horseman.
I mean, he is a fictional horse.
I think he's a real horse. I want to believe that this is the what happens to Mr. Ed as like time has gone on. Like if Mr. Ed happened in the 90s.
That's before my time, Roberto.
Come on. It's before my time, too.
I know of Mr. Ed, but.
A series that came on Netflix recently. They've been sort of making all this new content, a lot of it, you know, from Orange is the New Black, House of Cards,
Arrested Development.
Hemlock Grove. So, and this is the first time they've done animation, though. Especially in recent times, we've had sort of a resurgence of animation. But to kind of give a quick, especially online at least, give a quick sort of synopsis of the show, it sort of follows this horse character, sort of this weird
Bojack. Yeah.
Who was part of a successful 90s show called Horsin' Around, sort of a la Full House back in the 90s with, you know, has those kind of characters. And the first season centers around him getting his memoir finally written by a ghostwriter. What was your initial thought on just watching the series as a whole? Like, well, if you had to kind of give the initial.
I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that, like, the beginning of the series is really rough.
Yeah.
The first episode is, like, not funny, and it feels like it's trying to be, and it almost turned me off enough that I didn't want to continue watching. But since it was all there with the Netflix kind of experience, I was like, well, I mean, I'm already here, so I'm going to watch through it. But then episode 2 starts to recover. By episode 3, I feel like they're already kind of in a stride, and then the rest is great.
Yeah. I think for me, the first episode, I kind of felt the same way. I think I liked Bojack as a character enough to keep going. Because it comes off as almost like the first episode trying to be, I say, like an Adult Swim show. Like it's trying to mimic a lot of what they do, and it almost felt like they had to do it because some exec said, no, you've got to bring in the jokes. Because as the episodes go down and as we kind of get deeper and deeper in the story, we learn how fucking flawed Bojack is as a character.
Sure, yeah.
And those are probably the moments I love the most in the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think with the first kind of reveal of that was during Diane's kind of episode where they go back home for her father's funeral.
Right, yeah.
And it's at the junkyard or something. And supposedly Bojack like writes a letter from one of her like ex-boyfriends or something, and it's just like very heartfelt kind of letter. And it's this kind of moment of, I've rarely seen this in cartoons, and let alone that, you know, mature adult cartoons.
Yeah, I mean that was a really touching moment, and that's definitely the beginning of you seeing Bojack's transformation into a person who has kind of self-realized just how horrible he is.
That's what it is that he, because again, we've definitely seen asshole characters before in cartoons. Like we have
the anti-hero has become a very big staple.
I mean, like Archer made it very popular to have this sort of complete and utter asshole as your character. You know, even Dr. Venture in a certain way is sort
true
of this broken character. But what I loved about Bojack as a character is that, yes, he's an asshole. He realizes he's an asshole. He doesn't
eventually,
but he doesn't know how to fix it. And he's scared to death that he's missed his window. I think that I was so, for me, that was probably the most daring thing that was ever done in a cartoon, because I can't remember the last time that happened in a cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a subject matter, and it reaches thematic areas that I feel like just a lot of television shows and films and stuff.
That's what I'm saying, is that it felt like I kept trying to figure out in my head whether or not I felt this needed to be animated because, you know, they have it animated, and yes, obviously I have a horse character. We have to animate it to the silly thing. But it always felt like when they'd have those like sight gags that they always kind of felt out of place. Like I remember the one that felt the most out of place was Princess Carolyn's is in a gym. And as they're doing the pan shot, there's a hamster in a hamster wheel. And it's just like, why would you? That doesn't need to be there. I felt like, could this have been better if they had maybe made it just human characters or even made it live action?
Well, I mean, I think the story that they're telling of this fallen character, I think that's such there's so much potence in all of that they could definitely do it with any kind of characters. But then again, I also think, you know, having this kind of a weird animal universe definitely plugs into the DNA of the show, and I think it would, like, they could make a good show without that. But right. It would be a very different show. Well,
elaborate, like, what do you mean, like, DNA in the show? Like,
all of those characters, you know, Princess Carolyn and the turtle guy. And,
yeah.
You know, all of these people, it adds to the charm. It adds to the atmosphere of the universe in the show, and that kind of influences how characters act and behave. And so I think that definitely plays into the effectiveness of the show, definitely.
Right.
But, yeah, like I said, there could be a version of this that would be great. You know, with different characters, it just would be very different.
There are definitely, there's certain things, you know, because ultimately my take on this series, this season one, is I feel it's a good outing. I definitely see where it has its mistakes. Like, I think one of the weirder mistakes that it made for comedy's sake was the character of something Adultman. I forgot what his first name was, but the
Vincent Adultman.
Like, I felt like that was a gag that I didn't quite understand why it existed.
Me neither, but I kind of love it.
I like it, but I'm like, I don't know why you're doing this. And I think that was the problem I had, was that when it did the comedy, you know, there'd be times where it's funny. Do not get me wrong. There are times where it's really funny, really poignant. Will Arnett, as the voice of BoJack, is perfect. Patton Oswalt is sort of this character voice actor in various different roles is amazing, and everyone that's part of the series is flawless. I think Mr. Peanut Butter is voiced by
Paul F. Tompkins. There's Alison Brie as Diane,
right? And they all do a great job as their voice actors. I think maybe the only one I wasn't so impressed with is Aaron Paul. He seemed to, you know, it almost seemed like he was trying his best to sort of mimic his other famous role, if you will.
I mean, he had his moments. I didn't feel like it was particularly lacking in it.
Yeah, I didn't feel it was terrible, but I didn't feel like, you know, compared to everyone else, it felt a little bit weak.
I could see that.
But, you know, so it wasn't that the humor was bad. It's just whenever they tried to do that adult humor, and I don't mean mature humor. I mean that sort of stereotypical Adult Swim humor. And I know I bring that up all the time, but that's sort of that's become sort of this rubric of making not so much raunchy comedy, but making that kind of comedy that has to be this, has to do this, has to, you know, has to hit these certain funny points so that we all are like, you know, Family Guy and things like that. It was when they did that I really was like, you don't have to do this. You have something a lot more special. If you could just drop that portion and keep that like humor drama somewhere in the middle, this would be gold.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple moments like that, but it didn't stick out to me. Probably just because those moments that you're talking about work so well that it just overshadows.
No, yeah, that's why. Once you get to episode four, once you start getting that drama element, like that's when I was like, oh my god, this is this is amazing. Like, you know, like like that last episode. I've always been a big fan of full circle moments in series. Earlier on, you kind of do flashback where they show in the 90s with his producer buddy saying, you know, but you know, when we make it big, we're going to be here looking across and, you know, staring into the city and things like that. Having that shot at the end with him was his kind of golden, you know, Golden Globe or whatever award in his hand, as some kid just said, you're my hero, and sort of mimicking the whole thing with the Secretariat,
right,
was just such a great moment to end a series.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, because usually lesser shows would end it on a cliffhanger and try to get us to watch the second season. But I like that it gave us a kind of closure point of like, well, if this is all we get, we've got a full experience. And I like that because it rarely happens in American television. Like, it happens on a British television, but not so much American.
For sure. And maybe that speaks to something with Netflix's kind of.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Thing. Yeah, because I know they're going into a second season for the show.
Yeah, they just started doing table reads like 2 days ago or something.
Oh, so. Really? I did not know that. It was really that close. So we've already kind of talked about what we liked. We kind of talked about what we didn't like. What are your hopes, especially for season two? Since, I mean, it sounds like we both enjoyed the series as a whole.
Right. Yeah, I just want more of this amazing feeling that it evokes out of me. You know, like. I can always appreciate any form of art that can make me feel just like uncomfortable or bad in certain ways.
Okay.
And I love that it kind of goes into BoJack's character. You know, like Game of Thrones goes into this weird depravity of human nature.
And right.
It's like there's so much bad shit that's happening all the time. BoJack kind of does that, but from a different angle. There's a weird sadness to it all that I really, really like.
No, that's what I was saying.
And I want more of that.
Yeah, because, like, you know, we keep talking about certain things, but maybe we should kind of dig into one of those episodes that kind of has that sadness. And I think for me, the episode's entitled The Downer Ending. It's like the second to last episode. Basically, the book is completed, and BoJack's reading it, because, like, the prior kind of tail end of the prior episode where he's literally playing Mr. Peanut Butter, which is an amazing episode because, you know, we have a tarantula character like Quentin Tarantino that's forcing everyone to remain in character to a ridiculous point. And he's reading this book as a chapter has been leaked, and he's like, this is horrifying. Like, people are seeing who I really am.
Right, yeah.
And he has never had to deal with that. He's never had to deal with looking at himself. Like, he's always had this image of who he is. He's had this image of who he wants people to see him as. But the minute he sees the person that has known him the best, that has looked into his life, that has analyzed him from back to front, this is the real, if you will. It's crazy.
Yeah, and as a slight aside, but sort of going on with that, there's a great moment that I didn't realize until just a few minutes ago, where the child actor in the show, she grows up and she crashes the house and all that horrible stuff. And then there's a moment where BoJack is like, this is a bad environment for you, and I need you to leave.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's too late for me. Like, I got popular and I got success and I got everything I wanted, and I didn't have to grow as a person.
Yeah.
And now there's so many people who can enable me that I still don't have to grow as a person.
Nope.
And I can just self-destruct to my inevitable end. And it's not until the very end of the series where BoJack kind of realizes that he is very much in that same path.
And that's the thing, is that he, that's specific up to the downer one. Like, after he goes through literally a drug induced sort of spiritual journey, like, at one point, he ends up dreaming about, almost envisioning what his life could have been if he went with the Fawn Deer character, you know, envisioning, you know, this cabin in the woods, this daughter.
That's honestly the single moment in the entire season where he's actually happy.
I know, and that's what it was, is that it was, like, probably the most heart-wrenching moment and kind of pull back into reality moment was the, what are you thinking, dear? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking how this could, you know, how wonderful this could have been if you had chosen that life. And it's such a... Like, when it got to there, because that moment leads into him going and approaching Diane at a Ghost Riders convention, which is, again, the most ridiculous thing on the planet. Mm-hmm. Him saying, I really don't care anymore what people think about me, you know, because that doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know that deep down I'm a good person. You're the best person to tell me this. You've written the book on me. You've analyzed my life to the nth degree. You know what made me, if you know what, you know, has broken me. I have to know that there's still hope for me, because that is the thing he fears the most, is that this is it. This is all it's ever going to be, and there is no way to redemption. And when that moment hit me, that was in the series, that's like, this was where I was like, this is the most amazing cartoon I have seen in the past, like, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's super powerful. It's really great.
You know, it was definitely amazing.
Before you saw it, when we were talking about it, you mentioned you were a little on the fence about it, especially with, like, the animation style. How do you think that
held up for you? When it comes to cartoon shows, I'm very, very picky about my animation. Some of my favorite shows have been Adventure Time. Some of my, you know, older favorite shows have been stuff out of the 80s and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and even in modern shows, you know, Venture Brothers, I think, has a distinct style that I tend to enjoy. So I'm very picky on my style, because sort of the modern animation style these days is sort of make them seem worse and sort of make it these very squiggly lines and sort of, you know, very solid primary colors.
Which is probably just an artifact of streamlining it, right?
Right. My biggest fear going into the show was that they were simply making that style to make the typical adult show, to make that kind of that sort of thing, where they were just basically saying, well, we're Netflix, we've done these really great shows,
let's now not... we need this kind of show.
Exactly.
So let's make this kind of show.
Right. And that was my biggest fear, was that that's what it was going to be, because, you know, they wanted that kind of show. And I was like, we've already had that kind of show. Mm-hmm. And so I was just scared that I was like, that's going to be that show. I'm going to see the same thing that I've seen over and over and over again. Nothing new is going to come out of this, because the beauty part of the internet is that you can kind of push things that you couldn't do on cable television even. And you have the ability to do that. And I was like, I hope they pull this off and do something great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I really do like a lot of those actors there. There's a lot of that talent that I enjoy and a lot of that humor people that I enjoy. But I was afraid it was going to be that show. But after I watched maybe the first couple episodes, I definitely got used to it. And even then, they made my favorite kind of joke where they poke fun at their animation style.
Right,
that same drug
right.
one where it's like, oh, crap, my borders are gone.
Yeah.
And he's sort of getting sucked into the world. And it's sort of a weird thing. But yeah, that was my biggest fear, was that it was just going to be same old, and thankfully it wasn't. Thankfully they had those moments that were not.
And I thought it was cool how they kind of mess with textures and stuff, especially for all of the characters fur.
Yeah, explain that, to kind of go into, because I know that it was weird because we had obviously anthropomorphic animals and such. And, you know, because whenever you make animals in cartoons that are anthropomorphized, you can kind of either go heavy on the cartoony style of them, or you can go heavy on the animal style. I know this is not anywhere comparable, but if you say like Chippendale's Rescue Rangers from, you know, Disney style, they look a little bit less, you know, chipmunk and rat-like, whereas in sort of BoJack, he's obviously a horse, but he has a lot of kind of horse-like defining features, and even the cat has a lot of cat features, even to the point where she falls on all her legs when she's kind of toppled always and that kind of thing, so they kind of play with a lot of that stuff.
She's got the collar.
Exactly, and even her name, so they do that a lot, and so, you know, that sometimes can rub people the wrong way, but I do like that they still somehow made them feel like this world actually, because like that's the hardest sell I think of the show, is that it's this world where in the 90s, as opposed to Bob Saget doing a Full House show, we have a horse doing a Full House show.
Yeah, I think it was, they ended up developing kind of this weird, cool, interesting style. I feel like a lot of the characters could have been like drawn in MS Paint or something.
Yeah,
and then they broke up the body parts and then like puppeteered them and digitally animated the way they moved. Me describing it sounds kind of dumb, but it ends up having this cool, interesting look.
No, I ultimately did get used to the animation style. Like I said, I'm always picky on that, but I definitely got into it the minute the series kicked in and the minute we started put the premise on. Like, again, I love the idea of the ghostwriting and things like that. And, you know, you have to kind of introduce these characters and sort of explain who they are because of what we're into. What I think I liked a lot of most about the series was just the idea of having our main character like pretty much always in this like weird vain nostalgia trip where every episode he had to like watch old episodes of his television show.
And then anytime there's like a really nice moment in real life, he has to let the credits roll. Pretty funny.
And it was so amazing because I remember the opening episode. I think this is what caught me in the series, even though I know we weren't necessarily the biggest fans of the first episode. I love the moment where it's like he's watching the show. I love it. He's like, Todd, did she grow in front of her eyes? Yes. Like annoyed, like you've asked this about a million and 20 times.
Sure.
And just the idea of like him crying at his own show, just like tears streaming down his eyes, like, holy crap, this guy is completely messed up.
What were your favorite jokes or running gags or whatever?
I always enjoy the idea of print media dying. And so I like the running gag of Penguin Publishing, which is a very akin to Penguin Books, one of the biggest publishers out there.
Sure.
Just going through like crazy bankruptcy, and we have our Patton Oswalt voiced Penguin just like, give me something for the love of God, or else I'm gonna shoot myself in a horrible, horrible way. And just that sort of like his defeated attitude of just like, you've got nothing. And it's just like, what the hell have you been doing for the past year? Like the moment like he says, like he comes to him and they're eating dinner or lunch, whatever, and he just like kind of tries to BoJack, like, yeah. cover the bill, please, because yeah, we've got on, nothing. That's probably my favorite running gag, because I just adore whenever you have a character that's like, I have nothing else to live for, and if you fail, I have, like, there's just, like, my kids, this is it. Like, this mm-hmm. is my life, and I don't know how to handle it. Like, I always love those kind of just very defeated characters. Gotcha. What about you?
I like the stuff that you might miss the first time through, or
okay.
you only realize how funny it is until after they've already said the joke.
Like what?
Like the Andrew Garfield joke, where Aaron Paul's character starts to piece together that they're basing the character off of actual Garfield because he hates Mondays and he loves lasagna.
That's right.
And I thought that was super funny. And stuff like everybody screwing up the phrase, fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me twice,
chicken, rice, and stew.
Yes, that's right. That's a great one.
I think that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great gag. I think my second favorite, like, running gag, beyond just the watching of the episodes and stuff like that, I do enjoy the dynamic that BoJack and Todd share,
mm-hmm.
Especially, like, once it's revealed that, you know, once we find out the audience that BoJack screwed up his rock opera,
right.
how that gets teased out and gets realized by Todd and sort of what happens in their world like that. It's such a,
yeah.
again, it's a revealing moment. I don't know how much I like him, but I do enjoy the two paparazzi characters that are kind of reoccurring for
okay.
a bit.
Yeah.
The birds that were just sort of chirping mm-hmm. around and asking for birdseed, things like that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the fact of the matter that this character is so obsessed with this show that his fucking phone, his fucking ringtone is like the ringtone version of the theme for his television show.
Right.
Like, it's those sort of gags I think I enjoy a lot. And ultimately, if I really have to say what I enjoyed is those are real moments in interstitched yeah, sure. between them.
Sure, sure.
Would you recommend this to people to watch?
Yeah, totally.
Who would you not recommend this to?
Well, there are definitely some people who don't like to be challenged by the things that they watch.
That's
they
very
like
true.
To just have their entertainment as escapist. Because
there's a lot of this definitely got a lot of mixed reviews. Like it's not this show as a whole.
Yeah, on Netflix it was like kind of half rated.
Yeah, like a lot of because there's a lot of bad reviews I've looked at. People were talking about how it wasn't funny and things like that, and then people were like, "This is fucking brilliant. How mm-hmm. can you not understand what this is?" And going into it, I was definitely on the fence too because right. I had heard a lot of those on the fence reviews. But the minute I watched, you know, the first four or five episodes, like mm-hmm. I was pretty much hooked.
Yeah.
You know.
Just stick through after the beginning.
Yeah.
And you'll be great.
Well worth the watch.
And Rian Johnson loves it. So
really? I did not know.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, that's
you gotta love it.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what you have to do if it's sure. Rian Johnson. Brant, as always, a pleasure doing things with you. Where can people find you, sir?
Twitter.com/getowag, GATOWAG.
Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 on the Twitters. If you want to comment on this show, maybe you want to talk about your experience with the BoJack Horseman. Maybe you want to talk about you didn't like it, and here's why. Head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/cinematography. There you'll find links to previous episodes, show notes, our Twitter account at cinematography. You can let us know what you think there, or you can email us at cinematography@gmail.com and just let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you want to cover. Let us know what you want
to tell us what you thought about that intro.
Yes, exactly.
So good.
It's a great intro. The BoJack Horseman intro.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Not ours.
No, ours is a simple like little spinning triangle thing.
Which is great.
It is great. Triangles are amazing. I forget. I forget how much you love fucking triangles.
But seriously, it's
no, it's an amazing. I'm surprised we didn't get a chance to talk about the music side of things because yeah. I love that intro song and I loved a lot of the moments. In that, I'll say this as my last thing because I know we've already come to the closing part.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I loved the way that episode, the last episode, ended with a song.
Yeah,
that was sort of the like one of those weird moments. So that's it. Bye, people.